Grace be unto you and peace, God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of today's sermon? You'll find it on the screen. Why do we say Amen? Based on Luke 17, especially finding our theme in verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Well, regarding the sermon title, what's the answer to the question? Why do we say Amen? Pretty much every prayer we speak is ended with this little word, Amen. Why do we say it? We'll get to the answer at the very end of the sermon. So hang in there with me to the very end. Because the very last word of this sermon happens to be Amen. When I was in my very first year as a brand new pastor in the fall of 1979 in Dayton, Ohio, I was called upon to make my very first hospital visit. It was the mother of one of our church members. She wasn't a member of our church, but she needed pastoral care. So I drove to St. Elizabeth's Hospital in downtown Dayton, Ohio, went to the reception desk and asked for this lady by name. And they directed me to a special ward, and it was the psychiatric ward. This woman was under great distress. Great upset. And the first time in my life, I entered into a room whose walls were padded with rubber for protection. And this lady was wrapped in a straitjacket for her own protection. She was terribly emotionally upset, and this was to protect her so she couldn't harm herself. What was she doing there? This dear grandmother had a grandson who was seriously, seriously ill. And she belonged to some religious group that taught her, if you have enough faith, and if you pray hard enough, you can have anything you want if you just have enough faith. And her grandson was sick and close to death, and she prayed fervently. But this little boy died. And she was in that psychiatric ward because she was convinced, can you guess the reason? She didn't have enough faith. And because she didn't pray hard enough and her faith wasn't strong enough, the little boy died. Now, in the long run, thank God she did recover and stay away from such false and misleading teaching. Have faith. Keep the faith. Don't lose faith. Lord, I need more faith. How many times in many circumstances have you said or heard those very words? In today's gospel reading from Luke 17, the disciples of our Lord come to our precious Jesus and say this, O Lord, verse 5, increase our faith. Later in the lesson, the Lord says, and even in the book of Matthew, Jesus says to his disciples, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will. Now, at first glance, take note, at first glance, and by the way, I encourage you to follow your sermon outline that's provided for you in the handout. At first glance, these passages seem to say, look what you can do. It all depends on you. You must work on your faith. But a deeper study of Holy Scripture shows us the truth is completely in the opposite direction. The witness of Holy Scripture is this: we don't depend on our faith. We depend on the object of our faith, what our faith is in, who our faith is in. And our faith is always in and only in Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the rock upon which we stand. We stand not on the shifting sands of our puny faith that changes from one day to the next like the weather. We are standing on the rock of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock of ages, of whom it is said in the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Faith is not our good deed. Faith is not our wishful thinking. Faith is simply recognizing that God is at work and resting in His care and trusting in His promises. In John's Gospel, chapter 9, after Jesus heals a blind man, the blind man declares, "Lord, I believe." This account clearly shows that Jesus didn't say to this man, "Show me your faith, and then maybe I'll heal you." Jesus came to him. Jesus loved him. Jesus healed him. And Jesus' words and deeds not only healed him, but created faith in his heart. So he said, "Lord, I believe." This healed man did not jump up and down and say, "My faith healed me. My faith healed me." In fact, verse 30 of John 9 says, he began to tell the people, "This Jesus opened my eyes." Listen once again to the heart and theme of today's important lesson in the sermon. What is important is not the strength of our faith, but the object of our faith, what our faith is in, who our faith is in. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let me ask you, was it you or your faith that died upon the cross for the forgiveness of your sins? Was it you or your faith that rose in victory over sin, death, and the devil? Of course not. The focus of faith is always away from ourselves and toward our Lord. The focus of our faith is not what I must strive to do, but rather what I humbly receive. Just consider, look at the altar this morning. Consider the sacred and wonderful thing that takes place in the sacrament of Holy Communion. The believer who has been instructed and kneels at this altar comes to receive from God something precious beyond words. Jesus, our Lord, tells us in the Holy Gospels that with the bread and wine, we also receive His precious body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. In Matthew 26, His words are clear where He says, "Take and eat, this is My body. Take and drink, this is My blood given for you for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus' words of promise make this bread and wine at the same time His body and blood. Jesus' words of promise connected to this bread and wine delivers what He promises, the forgiveness of sins. Our faith does not make the sacrament. Our faith does not place forgiveness into this sacrament. The strength of our faith does not increase the gift of the sacrament. We simply kneel at this altar. Kneel humbly with repentant hearts, and receive what is offered there. It would be good for us every Sunday as we kneel at this altar rail to receive communion, to say to ourselves verse 3 of that hymn, Rock of Ages, which says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling." Our faith is in Jesus, the Rock of Ages, and we are standing on the rock. Now, here's a hint. Keep this in mind. standing on Jesus, our rock, as we get closer to the answer to the question, which comes at the end of the sermon, why do we say, Amen? Faith in ourselves, or faith in our own faith, leads us to faithlessness. Just ask the Apostle Peter. Peter's name means rock. And of all the apostles, he was the one probably especially closest to Jesus. And he had done some amazing things in his life as a disciple. But it seems that Peter began to be a little bit too full of himself. On the night before Jesus went to the cross, boastful Peter makes this claim. Matthew 26:35. Peter says, Jesus, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said that you will always remain faithful to your Lord no matter what? How about at your confirmation? Those of you here today who received confirmation instruction, recall that on that Sunday you were confirmed and received Holy Communion for the first time. You made a promise. You promised to be faithful to Jesus and His church no matter what life threw your way. How's that working for you? And as I look around, I wonder, where are all those folks who made that promise in the years past? But each of us must look into our own hearts and see, and here it comes again, that faith in ourselves and faith in our faith or promises just doesn't work. Jesus told Peter that his boastful promise wouldn't last. On the very next day, Jesus was arrested and taken to the cross, and Peter denied knowing Jesus not once but three times. Peter the rock became Peter the dust. My friends, here's the truth of the matter. We are not strong. Our faith is not strong. Faith in ourselves, or faith in our own faith, leads us to faithlessness. But here's some good news. We have a strong Savior. We have a strong rock. He is Jesus, the rock of ages. And we are standing on the rock. Jesus forgave Peter. Jesus restored Peter. After his Easter resurrection, Jesus made Peter the leader of the new Christian church. Jesus made Peter into that rock whose faith was not in himself, but in his Lord. And in today's reading from Luke 17, again, the disciples asked Jesus, Lord Jesus, please increase our faith. And Jesus did just that. You see, the Bible teaches us that faith is always a gift of God. We cannot create faith in our hearts. We cannot just try harder and strive to trust God. Faith is a gift that God works in our hearts as we hear His word and receive His gifts. Romans 10:17 says this. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. So no one can boast. What a wonderful reminder about all of this is given to us in Luther's Small Catechism. Some words from Luther's explanation of the Apostles' Creed is found in your sermon outline. Would you glance at that outline? Bold print section 3. Bold print section 3 in your outline. We're going to read it together. Can you find those words? These are Luther's words. Let's read them together. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified me, and kept me in the true faith. This is most certainly true. The faith we have and our remaining in the faith is God's doing. It's not our own doing. As we said at the beginning of the sermon, with the story of the grandmother in the hospital, the idea of faith is often misunderstood. Today, in our English vocabulary, even the word faith has three different meanings. Notice your sermon outline near the end. First of all, it said that a person believes something, that is, has factual knowledge in their head about something. For example, you might say, yesterday was a good proof, I believe it rains a little bit here on the West Coast. Many people claim this factual knowledge about God. They say, oh, I believe in God. They mean to say, I acknowledge that God exists, but I really don't trust him or worship him. There could be some folks today with that kind of so-called faith in God. I acknowledge that God exists. There were people like this in biblical days, and James addresses them in James chapter 2, 19. Listen carefully what he says. You believe that there is one God, that is, you acknowledge God exists. Well and good, but even the demons so believe. And they tremble. Even the devil and his demons acknowledge the existence of God. But such head knowledge is by no means saving faith. Such belief that has not traveled 18 inches from head to heart brings us no peace. James says it causes fear and trembling. Second of all, notice your sermon outline. Second of all, it said that a person believes in something. That is, they value something. For example, you might say, I believe in Canada, or I believe in motherhood. But this is also not what the Bible means by faith, just to value something. This brings us to meaning number three. Note what it says, the biblical meaning of faith. A person believes on something. That is, a person trusts or entrusts themselves to the object of their faith. In Acts 16, verse 31, listen to what it says carefully. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You and your household. This is no intellectual assent or head knowledge of God's existence. This is not just a sweet or sentimental valuing of something like motherhood. No. This is a humble but a strong trust. An entrusting of oneself to the Lord of life and death and eternity. And we cannot take credit for such faith. It's a gift of God. Hymn 576 in our hymnal, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, says it very well. Would you read together with me from the bottom of your sermon outline this one verse from My Hope is Built on Nothing Less? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And now, you've been watching your watches? Now we get to the question of the sermon. Why do we say amen? There is that little but powerful word we speak at the end of many hymns But at the end of every prayer, the little word is Amen. Amen comes from a Hebrew word that means faithful or can be counted on or solid, like a rock, like in the children's message. Amen is a statement of faith, declaring that God can be counted on, that God is faithful, that He is solid like a rock. So when we end a hymn or a prayer or a sermon by saying, in Jesus' name, Amen, we declare that He is that rock and that our faith is nothing less than standing on the rock, who is Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
In the name of Jesus, our rock.
Amen.
Amen.